labels are really tough in the feed industry because they really don't give us very good information.
Right. Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double B Trailers. With over 25 years of experience in the horse industry, I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips, and insights into everything equine. Can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up and join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast. Good morning, everyone. We have with us Dr. Jimmy Nichols, and she is the director of nutrition at Blue Bonnet Feeds. So, Dr. Nichols, I'll welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, can you tell us a bit about your role as the director of nutrition at Blue Bonnet, and really your journey into the equestrian nutrition field?
Sure. So I've been with Blue Bonnet since 2011. As director of nutrition, I worked my way into that role. I actually started in outside sales. I made farm calls on ranches and worked directly with horse owners, you know, kind of boots on the farm type of situation. And I had, you know, come out of school with a master's degree and spent a little time in industry, spent a little time getting to talk directly with horse owners. And I realized that there kind of seemed to be this gap between what I learned from the science world through my research, doing my master's program. And then I just felt like that wasn't getting translated very well. The science wasn't getting translated to industry very well. And so I kind of got this like personal mission that I wanted to go back, get my PhD, and really try to be sort of this conduit between the science world and real life horse owners. So I did that. I went back, I got my PhD, and that really has kind of been my mission. And Blue Bonnet just offers the perfect platform for that. So being a feed company, we also have a line of supplements. Stride Animal Health is a line of supplements. So in my current role, I'm basically responsible for all formulation and nutrition for both of those brands. So anything that wears the Blue Bonnet Feeds logo or the Stride Animal Health logo, I'm responsible for those formulas. I'm responsible for, you know, the like just the upkeep and staying up to date with the science and the technology and making sure that we stay on the cutting edge of things. But then also I have this really big responsibility to educate the consultants that are on our team, and then also to just educate the public. So I was given kind of the opportunity through COVID to create my own podcast. And so I also have that brand, the Feed Room Chemist brand, which so I release podcasts about every other week. And I basically just take a nutrition topic and I try to take the science and break it down and talk about it in a way that's palatable to the typical horse owner, and just really try to give people things that they can use on a day-to-day basis. So I kind of have this mix of duties and roles that is just a little bit of everything, but it keeps things interesting.
Yeah, congratulations on your podcast. We'll definitely throw a link on down below the videos on this to your podcast so folks can jump on that and check it out. And no pressure either, being the director of nutrition and responsible for all of those formulations. It just sounds like a lot of pressure to me.
You handle it well.
Yeah, you handle it well. All right, we'll move on to nutrition a little bit. So what are some key considerations that horse owners should keep in mind when it comes to designing a balanced diet for their horses?
Yeah, so understanding your forage is a really big piece, and then understanding what you want out of your horse, you know, what their age is, what their dental health is like, what their body condition score is. You know, are we underweight? Are we overweight? You know, do we need to make movements in that direction? Is this a performance horse, right? So are they getting ridden? You know, how many days a week are they ridden? How hard are those workouts? How intense is that training program? Or is this a companion animal that maybe isn't being ridden at all? Right. Are we, you know, is this a pony, a draft breed, a light breed? You know, it seems like it should be simple to just walk out and feed a horse, but there are just so many different layers of complexity that can twist what direction you need to go based on what that horse's life is like. So that's kind of the first step, is I take a look at the whole, you know, what's this horse's world look like, and then kind of go from there.
Yeah. So it's definitely not a one size fits all for sure. No. You mentioned forage. So what's the importance of forage in a horse's diet, and really how does it contribute to their overall health and digestion? And then, I don't know, recommendations on forage in general, what should they be eating? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So forage is the most important thing in a horse's diet. Horses are herbivores. They're designed to eat roughage. The forage, the grass, the hay, that is their fiber content. And their digestive system is designed really kind of cool. It's almost like you take part of a human's digestive tract and you take part of a cow's digestive tract and kind of mash them together. So you have this, what we call the hind gut, which is the cecum, the large and small colon. And in that hind gut area, there are all of these really beneficial microbes that live there, and they ferment. And that's what allows a horse to be able to eat grass and forage. So we as humans, there's no way we could go eat grass all day and be sustained. And that's because we don't have this fermentation capacity. We don't have a rumen or a cecum or anything that can truly break those fibers down to their fullest extent. Now, a horse luckily has that. The other piece of that is the horse has to have forage in order for that hindgut and those microbes to be happy and operate properly. Those microbes actually take that fiber that the stomach and the small intestine can't break down, and they break it down further and turn that into energy for the horse. And so without forage, I mean, let me back up a step. Without fiber, a horse would be hard pressed to survive very well for very long. And the reason I took that step back is because some horses can't eat long stem forage because of their dental health. And so in those situations, we have to figure out a way to still get that fiber into the horse, but we do it differently. We can do it with, we process the forage. So we chop it up really fine, and then we can put it into either pellets or cubes, or, you know, a form basically that you can then, if you need to, you can wet it with water to soften it back up, or, you know, handle it however the individual horse needs. But regardless, all horses must have fiber. And so that word fiber and forage can kind of be used interchangeably just a bit.
Okay. A little bit off topic, just for my own curiosity. I know there's so many different types of forages, from alfalfa to fescues to Bermuda grass. And with the feed, you know, there's not a one size fits all. So is there a one size fits all forage? Obviously, you can't do that in all different parts of the U.S. just because of climate. But if I'm a horse owner and my horses are grazing, what should they be eating? What forage do you recommend?
Yeah, so this is where things can get a little bit tricky as well. And it comes back to two different things. Number one, understanding the needs of the horse. And then number two, understanding the forage that is available in your geographic area. So let's start maybe kind of with the easiest comparison, which is grass hay versus alfalfa hay. Alfalfa is going to be more nutrient dense, meaning it has more calories, it has more protein. You're going to be getting more, you know, quote, bang for your buck in that same pound of alfalfa versus a pound of grass hay. So grass hay is going to be a little bit more dilute. It's going to be lower in protein. It's going to be fewer calories. They both are going to be decent in terms of macro minerals. So, you know, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, those types of things. They're going to both pack decent levels. Okay. Both are going to be almost worthless in terms of trace minerals. Okay. So copper, zinc, manganese, some of those trace minerals that horses really need. Hay, I don't care whether it's alfalfa, grass hay, I don't care what species it is, it never has enough trace mineral. And so that's where we always have to be mindful about layering back with either a vitamin and mineral supplement or a ration balancer or something to get those trace minerals back in to balance where the hay lacks. So, okay. So back to, you know, alfalfa versus grass. When would I apply alfalfa? That's going to be horses that have a heavy workload. So, you know, your intense training, performance horses, I'll plug alfalfa into a hard keeper situation or a senior horse situation. The reason there is as horses age, their ability to absorb amino acids and protein declines. So by giving them a little bit higher protein forage, you can kind of help keep weight on those horses a little bit easier longer throughout their life. The other place that I almost always plug alfalfa is in a broodmare or in a growing horse situation. So mares that are pregnant, specifically mares that are lactating, so after they've had their foal and that foal's on their side drinking milk every day, that situation is the highest nutritional demand on a horse, period. And so I am a big proponent of using alfalfa in that situation, just because you almost can't feed them enough grain in order to offset a low protein hay. So, you know, forage is, you know, 70 to 85-90% of a horse's diet. And so if you're behind the eight ball on the forage, it's almost impossible to use a grain or a supplement to try to catch back up to that. So that's why it's really important to understand, you know, what the strengths are of different types of forages, so you're plugging the right forage in the right situation. Let's actually talk the opposite end of that. So I talked about how it's important to get nutrition into a horse, and you can use high quality alfalfa to do that. Let's talk the opposite. Let's say you've got a horse that stays fat on air, like on the verge of morbidly obese. You have to manage that horse too. And you don't want to feed that horse alfalfa or give them full access to pasture turnout, because you're just compounding the problem. So in that situation, I'm going to go look, if I have access to it, I'm going to go find warm season grass species. So Bermuda grass, Bahia grass, those are two really good examples. They're typically lower in protein, they're typically lower in calories, and they're typically lower in your starches and sugars. So you can feed more of it, so the horse still feels satisfied and you still meet the needs of those microbes that live in that hindgut, but you're not packing on all of this extra nutrition that horse doesn't physically need.
Okay. A lot of information. Excellent. So let's talk about colic. You know, it's another common concern among horse owners. And how can proper nutrition contribute to minimizing the risk of digestive issues like colic?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's first important for people to understand that colic is just a definition. It means stomach pain or abdominal pain in the horse. That can be really frustrating as a horse owner, because everybody who says, oh, my horse is colicking, it's not like they're doing this one specific thing. It's just that they have a tummy ache. And then it's on the shoulders of the vet to try to figure out what's causing the tummy ache. And, you know, there's 561,000 reasons that a horse can have a tummy ache. And so colic is just such a challenging word, because we don't know, you know, so it's best if you can identify what's causing it. But the fact is that most time we have no idea. It could have been a little gas bubble. It could have been, you know, there's lots of little minor things, right? So horses can colic because of something they ingested, you know, sand. They can colic because they aren't drinking enough water. And so the food gets compacted. It's called an impaction colic. So, you know, a dehydrated horse is like probably the most common reason that horses colic and have a bad outcome is probably because of a dehydration or an impaction situation. And especially in the summer month, in the summer months, we're all very cognizant of that being a real problem. And so we give horses electrolytes and we, you know, give them all of this extra stuff. And then in the winter time, we kind of were like, oh, it's, you know, we forget about it. Well, the reality is that in the winter time, that risk factor goes up again, because horses don't like to drink cold water. And so if their water is icy or has ice in it or super cold, they're going to take off, like they're going to regulate their own intake of water. They're going to stop drinking. Well, you're feeding this high dry matter hay to them, and they're going to still eat a lot of hay because they're trying to stay warm. That's how horses stay warm, right? Is eating a lot of roughage and a lot of forage. So they eat even more hay, but it's a very low moisture content. It's very high in dry matter. And then they're going to stop drinking water because it's cold and they're finicking. They just don't want to drink cold water. Then you've got another perfect storm for an impaction colic. So really in both seasons, you know, the dead of the summer and the dead of the winter, impaction colic is probably one of the biggest issues. So from a nutritional standpoint, something that people can do to keep their horses drinking is use a metabolic pH balancer and electrolytes. at bare minimum, plain white salt. Throw that in with their feed. Offer salt blocks if your horse will lick a salt block. A lot of horses won't, so pay attention to that. I one of my favorite metabolic pH balancers is one called TurboMag. It's by Stride Animal Health. That product is designed to make horses want to drink, and it's designed to help pull hydration back into their digestive tract. So when you've got horses that are finicky about drinking when they're either on the road or don't like icy water, a metabolic pH balancer is just like definitely the way to go.
Yeah, sounds like magic. You mentioned, you touched on supplements just a little bit, and you know most folks do use supplements to simply just enhance the diet. So how can you determine which supplements are necessary and which ones may be excessive?
So you first have to decide what your intent is with using a supplement. I like to break supplements into two different categories. So I've got nutritional supplements on one side and then functional supplements on the other side. Now, when we're dealing with nutritional supplements, this is your basic, you know, protein, amino acids, fat, calories, vitamins, minerals. It's the nutritional items that a horse needs to survive and to be healthy. On the other side, functional supplements. These are things that go above and beyond the nutritional portion of the diet. So a functional supplement might be something that's designed to have a biological impact within the body, meaning it's designed to support synovial fluid in the joints. It's designed to enhance the immune system. It's designed to, you know, support a horse that has allergies or respiratory conditions. It's doing something that goes above and beyond just the basic nutrition, the foundational nutrition. So I would very rarely use a functional supplement without first having the foundational nutrition in place. Foundational nutrition, obviously you have to start with hay, with forage, with grass, whatever your forage piece is. You then build on that to fill in your gaps of your minerals and your vitamins. And then if you need still on top of that, if there are gaps as far as protein or amino acids, or calories, then you do that. Once all of that is covered, then you can get into the fun stuff, which is the functional nutrition. And that's, I have just a ton of fun in that because there's so much science that's evolving around that. But it's confusing, right? Because what happens is sometimes you'll get a nutritionist that maybe isn't as informed in functional nutrition, and they'll look at a product and they'll say, well, there's no vitamins, minerals, protein, amino acids, fat, calories, blah, blah, blah in that supplement. It's trash. Get rid of it. Well, it doesn't have those things guaranteed on the label because that's not what the intent of the product is. And so understanding kind of those two different categories, I think, is a really important first step.
So would this be like, you know, I go to my doctor for an annual physical, I do blood work and a full metabolic panel, and they come back with potassium and sodium and all these things are perhaps low or high, and then I adjust it with a vitamin or a supplement. Would you do the same thing with your horse? Do you draw blood samples? Do you have your forage tested to see what deficiencies are there? Is that a good practice?
Yeah. So drawing blood in horses to balance nutrition is not super useful. There are a few specific areas, certain nutrients that we can gather useful information out of that, you know, like vitamin E, selenium, things like that. But as an overall health program, going and drawing blood is never going to be something I recommend. Instead, what I'm going to do is let's pull samples of your hay. Let's pull samples of your grain. Let's look at your supplements and let's get all of the information, all the nutrition that we know is going in that horse's mouth. And then we evaluate and we run our numbers off of that. The difference in horses and humans is a doctor could never truly know every single thing that goes inside of your mouth every single day. Like it's impossible. But with horses, you know, we're feeding them the same thing every day. And so we know what's going in. And so the very best source of information is to test what's going in. And then that tells us where our gaps are.
Okay, nice. Well, talking about what goes in the horse's mouth, let's jump to horse feed. So what should owners look for on feed labels just to make sure they're choosing a high quality feed for their horses. And I'm going to add something to that. Is there something in particular that owners should avoid on labels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so labels are really tough in the feed industry because they really don't give us very good information.
Right.
I hope that someday that changes. But for right now, it's just a little bit tough. And I think what happens is you find horse owners defaulting to, oh, I'm just going to go look at what the crude protein content is, or the protein and the fat. Those are kind of like the two trigger numbers to look at. Yeah. And for me as a nutritionist, that's really frustrating because those are just crude estimates of what might be in there. And let me give you an example. With cattle, because they have a rumen first, and because all of the nutrition goes into the rumen and into these microbes, and they have the ability to create their own amino acids, okay? Cow can create their own amino acids. As a cattle nutritionist, if you can just get nitrogen into the feed somehow, then you can have a high crude protein content, and the bugs in the rumen can take that nitrogen and turn it into amino acids, basically. That's a very simple way to describe it. But for the sake of this discussion, horses don't have that ability. They don't have that luxury. Horses don't have a use for the, quote, crude protein that's just guaranteed on a tag. What the horse needs is the building blocks of that protein. And those building blocks are called amino acids. I know I've said amino acids probably 50 times already, and I haven't really explained what they are. But amino acids are truly the building blocks of the, I mean, your tendons, ligaments, muscles, your nervous system, your eyes, just literally everything that is soft tissue within your body requires amino acids. And so for a horse, since they don't have the luxury of a rumen for a cow and these little bugs creating these magical amino acids for them, the horse has to get those from the diet. So my number one go-to on a feed tag is to look at what amino acids are being guaranteed and at what levels.
Okay.
Lysine is the first limiting amino acid, so that's the primary one that I'm going to be looking for.
Lastly, could you offer practical tips for horse owners to help them make informed decisions about their horses' nutrition and feeding routines? And I think we just touched on that a little bit, but anything in closing you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think understanding where your feed comes from is really important. So at Blue Bonnet Feeds, our number one, we're an ionophore-free facility. We put horses first. Ionophore is a word probably nobody's heard of, or very few people have heard of. So let me explain what that is. Ionophores are medications that are commonly used in production livestock. They're commonly used in cattle rations and cattle diets. Fine for cattle, deadly to horses. And so many mills use these. And so what they'll do is they'll put ionophore safe strategies in practice, meaning they'll run a medicated feed and then they'll do a few flushes and then they'll run their horse feeds. The danger in that is that there's always this risk for potential cross contamination, not to mention human error, right? If that medicated ingredient is on your facility, there's always the chance that somebody misreads a label or grabs the wrong bag or dumps, you know, the wrong thing in the wrong mix. I mean, there's just always this chance that those ionophores could end up getting into the horse feed. And at Blue Bonnet, that's a risk that we're not willing to take. And so we don't even allow ionophores of any kind on our facility. So we are what is called an ionophore free facility, not just an ionophore safe facility. So call your manufacturer, ask them, you know, what medications are being used. Are horses the primary species that you're manufacturing for? You know, that's kind of our foundational principle, is that if a horse can't eat it, it doesn't need to be on our facility. Because horses are so sensitive to so many different things that other livestock species are just fine with. They tolerate just fine. And so we take the health of people's horses very seriously. And I encourage horse owners to challenge and ask their manufacturer, and we have those same types of policies in play. And then after that, read your label, right? Don't just feed a scoop a day to everything you own, or two scoops a day to everything you own. Feed labels are important because as nutritionists, we formulate those feeds to be fed in a certain way. And if you feed less than that amount, your horses aren't getting the nutrition that they need. If you feed more than that, you're feeding too much nutrition, you're wasting money, or you're going to cause that horse to go into an overweight situation. Or they're just going to be having to process all of those extra vitamins and minerals even more and urinate it out, which isn't very fun for your pocketbook. So read the labels and feed according to direction. Please go weigh how much your feed weighs in a feed scoop. That is the most challenging thing in the horse industry, is when I'm talking to someone and I ask, how much do you feed? And they say, a scoop in the morning and a scoop at night. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if your scoop is this big or this big. Right. So, you know, go get a scale. You can get a cheap, you know, a food scale at Walmart or wherever. They're not expensive, but just understand how many pounds you're feeding, because that's what your feed label is going to be written as. It's going to tell you how many pounds to feed per day. And if you work with a nutritionist, the number that they need is going to be in pounds as well. So go weigh your feed scoop.
Go weigh your feed, guys. Dr. Nichols, thank you so much for joining our podcast. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, we just really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brad.
All right. Bye-bye.